We have a lot of chaylim. Everyone should have a full shalema. Yartzeit, all of the neshama shavan aliyah. And things should only get better.
Primary one is
Yosef HaTzadik's Yartzeit. We really know that today's Yartzeit?
Listen, if a guy spent 40 years slapping
through the
mitzvah,
okay. Okay, let's learn. We're up to Mizmor Lamed Aleph. Mizmor Lamed Aleph, we're up to Pasuk Bey, Pasuk Gimel, right? We said we can do Pasuk Gimel. Okay, page 294, Mizmor Lamed Aleph. This Mizmor, as we mentioned, this is when David HaMelech was captured by the king of the Plishtim. King of Plishtim, Avimelech, when he ran away in the time of Avshalom, he entered into enemy territory, and Avshalom could have killed him, could have caused him great harm, and miraculously, he escaped. And how did he escape? By making believe, feigning insanity. He made believe that he was crazy. He scribbled on the wall the words that Achish Melech Plishtim owes me 100 zuz. He did some really bizarre things. I'm just trying to get this stamp straight. He did some really strange things. And these bizarre things that he did. Ablaze, can you hear me? Yeah, good, okay. And these bizarre things that he did gained him the ability to survive. When David did this was in response to David's complaint. David complained to Hashem years back, that everything in this world is beautiful and wonderful, but there's one thing that he does not understand. Why did Hashem allow in this world there to be such a reality where people lose their minds? Insanity. What gain, what benefit is there in the illness of insanity? Or I guess whatever type of, unfortunately, today there are many different varieties of people who do not have a healthy mind. Okay, and the question itself is an amazing question because the question is working with the premise that there's a benefit in other types of illnesses. And I think to most of us, we would ask the same exact question. What benefit is there in general getting sick? What possible benefit can there be in a person getting a fever? COVID, okay, what's this all about? What benefit is there for the world of there being COVID? And to us, this is a very great mystery. Why there should be any benefit, and we know there's a very famous chazal, that until that the first person to get sick was Yaakov Avinu. It says in the pasuk in Parashas Vayechi, Hinei Avicha Chole. The word Hinei means a surprise. Wherever it says the word Hinei in Chumash, it means the unexpected. The unexpected. Rivka Vayisroid Satsu Habonim Bikibavatem Kilomazan Achivatelich Lidrash Hashem. And then it says, Hinei Saimim Bevitna. And it was a shock. It was a shock. Even though they told her there are Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, she thought she would have one child. And from that one child would come out over many years, two different nations. But right now, she only has in Erechem a single child. And it was a shock. Hinei Saimim Bevitna. They are already split. The two nations, the Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, Shnei Lumim Mi'ayach Yiporedu, already have separated in your own Rechem. Rachel and Leah. Yaakov really wanted to marry Rachel, and he has the wedding. Vihinei Leah. Vihinei. The word Vihinei always means the unexpected. Yosef. What was the Hinei. Hinei. Shocking things. Hinei. Yeah, Michal. Ooh, Mashiach. Mashiach only comes behesach hadas. Ein achnam, very beautiful. Mashiach only comes the least expected moment. You never would imagine. Mashiach will come, Mashiach comes behesach hadas. So the word hinei tanach consistently always means it connotes the unexpected. The unexpected. Who would ever imagine? So where else is said this word in our relation? I was so good here, and that is by becoming sick. Hinei avicha chole. And Chazal tell us, until the time of Yaakov Avinu, it never happened, the person was ill. Isn't that amazing? No one ever got sick. They suddenly died. Their time came, they lie down, and they closed their eyes, and they died. There was no such thing as illness. And Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu was mispalel to Hashem, that it would be a good idea for a person to become ill before he leaves this world. Why? He can put his home in order. When a person becomes ill, I guess, I'm assuming that there is a humbling experience of a person losing his power. It puts the person in the proper frame of mind. He's maharer b'shuva. It's a kapara. So when he comes into the next world, he's clean. Okay, now, that obviously is a very Kabbalistic concept. No one came back to tell us how all these things work, but there's one thing we talked about many, many times, very, very clear, is that a person's frame of mind when he leaves this world is extremely, extremely important. Why? What difference does it make? I have no idea how all this works, but that is a concept which reappears over and over again in Chazal. A person, when he leaves this world, should be in a very good, positive frame of mind, which includes teshuva, includes the Messiah of Kriyashma, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. When a person leaves this world, he has to be in a proper frame, what, Besimcha, I mean, whatever, I don't know how these things work. Yeah, this vidui shchiv meira, and it would appear, I'm just trying to guess here with you, is that this principle of being a chole is part of a preparation for a person for his departure from this world to come to the Olam HaEmes. There is an advantage. Now, we have to also understand that what Yaakov Avinu was mispalel for does not appear to be the way things work in the 21st century. Okay, modern medicine has made it possible to keep people alive and to torture them for years. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I have no idea. No one wants to know any of this. But Chazal tell us that the ideal amount of time to be sick before a person leaves this world is 3 days. And the Gemara talks about all the different, if a person gets sick and dies within 1 day, it's called a Misa Chatufa. We had this in the Daf Yomi, how long ago? It was about a year ago. Maybe Moed Kata, maybe Chagiga. The Gemara there goes, it was a fascinating Gemara, goes through all the different, the different lengths of time that a person can be sick before he leaves this world. The Gemara never entertained the possibility of what modern medicine can do today, can keep a person alive in a comatose state for who knows how long. All right, listen, no one's complaining. It is what it is. But Chazal do make the statement that until the time of Yaakov Avinu, no one ever got sick. A person would die in a very, very short time. Whatever that means, Yaakov Avinu came to the realization that it's not a good thing. It would be better for a person to become ill. And what that means, ill, I don't know. Ill doesn't mean Rahman Mutzlan necessarily, all these types of diseases that we never heard of before. And Rahman Mutzlan, but Yaakov Avinu was mispalel, but there should be a period of time when a person is the chayla, to put him in the proper frame of mind when he leaves this world, to put his home in order, as they say in the world, to put his home in order. And he was mispalel for this. Well, obviously, now David's question, this chazal that we learned, it assumes, it works with this assumption that there are many different types of illnesses that are very good. Obviously, I don't think anyone today can explain why that's so. Well, what's the benefit of any type of illness? But David, Beroiv Chochmasai, understood that each type of illness has a silver lining. How, why, I don't know. But there was one type of illness that David HaMelech did not accept, and that is insanity. A person's mind is not functioning the way it is, and he's acting in bizarre, strange ways. Politicians, they scribble these crazy laws, they say crazy things that make absolutely no sense and torture people. David's acting over here foolish. So Hashem says, now that's an incredible thing, that David is acknowledging that every type of deficiency, every type of illness that exists in this world has a benefit. Wow, that's something that's very hard to accept. But the fact that the only thing that David did not accept, that David had a complaint against Hashem, was a choile in the mind. And again, there are many different varieties, unfortunately, we all know of today, all different types of these situations. This is something which David refused to accept as a benefit. And David voiced his complaint. And Hashem responded, David, don't complain just because you do not understand there's a benefit. And David himself needed to come on to this, where he feigned insanity when he was captured by Avimelech, Melech Pelishtim. And the only way David was able to escape was by scribbling nonsense on the wall of the palace, writing that you, Achish, owe me 10,000 gold coins. And he let saliva drool down on his beard. And when Achish saw this crazy person, he said, Chasar mishugoyim ani? Am I missing mishugoyim? I have a whole Congress, a whole Senate. I have a whole hierarchy of politicians here. And you're another mishugim in my palace. Get rid of him.
That's why my wife and daughter was sick.
Right, his daughter. That's Chazal said that he had
my
a daughter. Right,
right. For this cycle is we need a coalition of the saint.
A coalition of the saint. Very good. That's a good, okay. So therefore, David, when he came to this realization, David went to praise Hashem. And the praise that we learned about yesterday, the praise of this Mizmar, is really off the charts. It's incredible. It's just incredible that David, from all the things that he really went over the top to give Shevach to Hashem, it's Pshut HaShol Mikra. It's referring to thanking Hashem that there's something in this world that's crazy people. It's a Pella. It's Mamash a Pella. David over here is the Shevach here is according to the letters of the Aleph base, Aleph through Tav. The words of Shevach are really very elaborate. So you would think David's thanking Hashem for his children. He's thanking Hashem for the Malchus, for Mashiach, for surviving. There's so many things to thank Hashem for. And from all the things that David's willing to go over the top and express himself, he's thanking Hashem for the blessing of this world of insane people. I don't have an answer. There's something which really needs a hezbeh. There's a value. Maybe that's exactly the point. The less that we understand about this world, the more we should acknowledge there's a lot that we do not know. So Rambam says, Tachlis hayidia sheneda sheloini. The purpose of knowledge is to know that we do not know. A person who is insane lacks knowledge. And a person who lacks knowledge, he has reached the tachlis hayidia. I mean, it's a bizarre thing. The goal of knowledge, the more you learn, the more you study, the more you come to the realization that you know nothing. And a person who is insane, taka, is a dugma, is an example of a person who has reached the tachlis hayidia. Look at a person who's taka insane, he has absolutely no understanding. So tell me, are you any better than him? You see a meshugna. Rachmana litzlan. It's very sad. A baruch, shalom aleichem. In the flesh. Baruch haba. By a baruch, by his bris, they said the name, his name, they gave him a name. Normally by a bris, when you give the name? At the end of the bris. Right, again, I was saying the Kaimis Ozev, Yikari Shmo B'Yisrael. By his bris, they gave the name in the very beginning, Baruch Haba. As soon as they brought you in, they already said, "Oh, his name is Baruch. Baruch has come. Baruch Haba." Okay, so this over here is this it's a fascinating thing. This mizmah. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Gal Hashem Iti Unirayinu Hashmo Yachlav. Galu Hashem Iti. We have another pasuk, two pasuk together. Dorashi Yes Hashem V'Onani Pasuk Hey. I've sought out Hashem V'Onani, and He has answered me. We call Migurosai Hitzilani, and from all of my Migurosai, that's a very hard word. Mogor means fear, pachad. All of my phobias, all of my spheres of life, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved us. An incredible concept. And a lot of crazy people Rahman Islam who lose their mind, a lot of it is because they're overwhelmed by fear. You know, when you take this nizmah, you put the nizmah in the context of the person who is not a healthy mind, who is not stable, who is going through difficulty, needs a psychiatrist and a psychologist. There are a lot of things that cause a person to people, Rahman Islam, who have issues. They're overwhelmed by fears. And here, this is a very fascinating pasuk, is when we call Migurosai Hitzilani, from all of my fears, you have saved me. Let's see these two sentences. This is the third pasuk Gimel is on page 295, pasuk Gimel b'Hashem. Okay, Gal Hashem, I'm sorry, pasuk Dalet and Hey, Gadlu, Sabru Gidulaso Imi. Gadlu, according to the Mitzudas, that's a very hard word to translate. Gadlu means to gidel, to make great. He adds here the word to relate, sipur,
sapur,
to declare, okay, or to relate, gidula, so his greatness, together with me, et, together with me, uniroimema, shema, we will elevate, miroimem, his name, together, yachtov, ani v'yatem. This is unique, there's always frustration during nach, is always repetition. I actually just read yesterday an article.
I think the Shmo is the subject here. We don't, if so, we can get it Hashem. Hashem is the goal already. Gadilula Hashem iti unromema Shmo.
The focus is his name, reputation.
Gadol and Roma.
Okay, Shmo. Okay, the focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relate to Hashem.
What's the meaning?
Of
Hashem, Ma.
How do you elevate Hashem? You have to. So he says over here to relate. Let's speak about Hashem.
Hashem doesn't need an elevation.
It means. What are you trying to say?
He's already mivorach. He's already gadol.
So we should appreciate that. The golden zone. We should understand and appreciate the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay,
there's always a frustration when you learn Nach as this. So what appears here. I read this yesterday in a letter by Reisman. He wrote a letter of recommendation for a sefer. And he wrote a whole shtickle Torah in his letter of Haskama, and he said that the main frustration learning Nach is repetition. We always have this on. If everything we read, come back, it's always the same shir. It's always the same thing again and again and again and again and again. When you learn Psukim and Mizmorim and Prakim and Nach, it's always the same thing. And the goal is always to try to find something unique, a unique teaching concept in this pasuk, in this parak, that you never had before. Nowhere else in Nach did you have such a concept. Because if you learn Tanakh very superficially, especially Nevi'im Achronim, you learn Yeshaya. Every parak is the same thing. It's shape up or ship out. Hashem's going to destroy you for all of your averis. This one, that one. You have to read between the lines to find the nuances to see how this pasuk is unique and has no equivalent anywhere else in Tanakh. And what is unique about this is you don't have often the concept of et and yachdav. David here is not just privately saying, I want to praise you, Hashem. David is coming to make a demand, I need help. In order for us to understand Hashem's greatness, et, we have to do this together. Each person has a unique experience in the same way that no two people look alike. There are no two people who think alike. Every person has a unique understanding, a unique expression of praising Hashem. And David is acknowledging that, and he's saying, Gadol LaHashem E.T. Unirayimimo, we will elevate Shmo, his name, Yachtov. The key words that make this expression unique is, you don't have this often, is a demand, be my partner in giving praise to Hashem. Okay, the next pasuk, Gadlu. There is no, he doesn't say anything on the next pasuk of Drashi es Hashem. I sought out Hashem and he answered me. And all of my phobias he saved me. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Dalit. I'm sorry? I don't think we did Gimel. So let's talk. Hashem tisalo nafshi. Did I skip pasuk Gimel? I did. I apologize. I skipped Pasuk Gimel. Let's go back to Pasuk Gimel. Ba Hashem tis halal nafshi, in Hashem, ba Hashem, in Hashem, and look at the Mitzvah David. I skip past the Gil by somehow by mistake. By Hashem, Beshuas Hashem, in the salvation of Hashem. The Beis connotes the salvation. Tishalel Nafshi V'Chasher Yishmu Anavim Yeshuasi. When the humble will hear about my salvation, Yismachu Gamhim, they will rejoice. They will rejoice with me. So over here is also it's part of this concept of I'm not alone. I need other people to participate together with me in any other people to participate in praising Hashem. Now, this is something very interesting. In Yiddish, there's an expression, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, Mayor, you'll help me, to fargin. Right, is that the word? To fargin yenem.
Fargin.
Now, it's almost impossible to translate.
You'll be like jealous.
It's more than that. It's almost impossible to translate that into English. There are many different expressions in Yiddish that you cannot translate every language, and you cannot cross over into another language. To fargin. What does it mean to fargin? You see someone else. You see not to no not the opposite to begrudge. To fargin means to
be upset.
To be happy. The opposite of to begrudge. A person has a simcha. We have two people. Each one of them has a daughter in shidduch. And each one is trying very, very hard to find a good chasam for their daughter. And then, your neighbor, oh, he calls you up and making a vart, come to the vart, you come, you see, wow, if only I had to find such a good boy for my daughter. So it's human nature to be jealous. It's human nature to say, why you and not me? Why do you have such a good job? Why I have all the same skills? I've exerted myself to the same degree. Why you and not me? That is human nature. To question yourself, to be a little bit jealous. Why? For a person to say, wow, what a wonderful simcha. I'm so sincerely happy for this person. So in Yiddish, the word is to fargin yen. It's Baruch Hashem. It's such a wonderful thing for this person to be successful. Even though I'm not successful. And this Hester Ponim, why am I? What have I done wrong that I suffer and this person succeeds? For a person to take away his personal frustration and look at someone else and lavishly rejoice with him, that is, I think in Yiddish, that the term for that is called tefargin.
In English, in Google translated, happiness for someone else.
It's the word in Yiddish has more flavor than that. Okay, I hear. You can translate it, okay, happiness for someone else, but there's something about the word fargin which cannot be translated into another language, and that's exactly what it says over here. It says here, it doesn't say the Yiddish, obviously, Hashem tisal nafshi, yishmu'u anovim v'yismachu. Now David takes note, in order for a person to succeed in this term called tefargin yenem, he has to be humble. That's the magic ingredient. A person who's truly an onof has the ability, when he hears about someone else's success, to rejoice in another person's, to be happy for them.
So
that's the magic ingredient. Yes, an ayin tov. In Perkyavos, right. So you want to say that's the meat of an ayin tov. Okay, in a chanami, absolutely. Okay, so let's ask what the Rambam says. Now let's see here Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, page 294. Bahashem tishalel nafshi mispo'er ani umishalel. I glorify myself umishalel sheyesh li patrein kazeh lehoshia ulogein. That I have a patron. The patron is a patron. A patron. You know what a patron is used to? If I think maybe he's not here. Mr. Dr. Friedman is a kvata. What's a kvata? A kvata by a bris milah. Kvata, the one who brings the baby, and this usually gives to a young couple who's trying to have a child. A kvata, so where does that word come from? So I don't remember all the details now, but one of the translations, word kvata basically means the patron. And what the one that's...
The sponsor is the patron.
The sponsor, godfather. Okay, the godfather. The patron. The one that's paying for the bris. It used to be that the one, the kvata was everything. It was the sandik. It's a one-shot deal. You pay, you do everything. You take upon yourself responsibility for everything that's happening now. I'm going to pay for the bris. I'm going to take care of the moil. I'm going to make sure the baby after the bris is over is going to have a good doctor to make sure that the baby heals well and has food, and buy him a carriage for $2,000 on Amazon, and buy, you know, baby formula, even though there's baby formula shortage. I take full responsibility for all of the things that need to be done. That's called the kvata. Again, it's a word, it's a Greek word, there are many different, Okay, there are many, I don't know, there's a lot of Torah on what exactly is the meaning of the word, but some say it's a Goyish word, meaning like by Goyim, they had this I don't know, some type of spooky stuff, and they took it from them. But here Rashi says an incredible thing called a patron. A patron, how does he translate this in the Judaic press? A patron. David over here is calling Hashem a patron. You can add that to the list. We have a long, long list of different terms that we use to refer to Hashem. Besides the basic names, Hashem, Tzedakah, Yisrael, Kshakai, you have another term that you refer to Hashem. Hashem is a patron. He's our patron. He puts us in this world and he provides from us. Oilam chesed yibaneh. And David says, "Bahashem tisalal nafshi." When you have the base with the patach before Hashem's name, it connotes, according to Rashi, it connotes that Hashem is my patron. So notice that the Mitzvah David and Rashi does disagree, because the Mitzvah David says the word Bahashem means the one who provides salvation, Yeshua. Yeshua is not the same thing as being a sponsor. The word Yeshua connotes that there is a trouble. A person is a fugitive. He's on the run. He is ill. He has a problem. And there's a problem. Along comes Hashem and he provides salvation. Oh, salvation. Wow, now I'm going to say Birchas HaGoimel. I'm going to thank Hashem. That's not what Rashi says. There's no problem here. There's no problem. Over here we're talking about a person wants to have a child. It costs a lot of money. And, you know, you bring a child into this world. You have to prepare who's going to pay the kid's tuition. Who's going to marry him off. Who's going to buy him clothing and feed him and buy him toys? You cost money. Who's going to be the sponsor of this child? You want to publish a sefer. Okay, it costs a lot of money. Who's going to sponsor the sefer? You need a patron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech says, Bahashem. The reality in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, and if Hashem put us into the world, He is responsible for us. He is our patron. Mispo'er ani u'mishalel sheyesh li patron kozeh, like Hashem. Okay, he does also hear those two words, lohoshia, in case we have a problem, he will save us, u'lohogin, and he will protect us. Tishalel nafshi, Ramcho, what does that word mean? What does that mean?
Sir korban terah, which means to boast or to exalt oneself.
To boast or exalt, okay. Yishmu anavim nifloiz sh'asali, the wonders that Hashem has done for me, mitoch mahaloli, and through my praise, yavinu oisam, they will understand. Through my, when the humble people listen to the words of my shavach, they will fully comprehend what I have been through, the yismach, when they will rejoice. Miguro sai l'shon pachat. Kemo vayogor moyav. Isn't that was last week's parasha, right? I forgot already. Vayogor moyav l'shon. When was that? 2 weeks ago? Parashas, I don't remember. Recently. Vayogar Moyav. Balak. Parashas Balak. Vayogar Moyav. They were afraid. So Miguro Sai, all of my fears. From all of my fears, Hashem has saved me. Let's take a look at Radak. Radak, Pasik, Gimel, Bahashem Tishalo Nafshi. Gadlu. I'm sorry, page 295, Pasik Gimel and Radak. Bashem tesal nafshi loy bimoshia acher. Only Hashem. He has a different nukuda, the Radak. Is that don't make a mistake and think there are other people that can provide salvation. There's only one being that provides salvation, only Hashem. Ki ein li moshia zula soy. Vuhunosan belev avimelech ligor sheni. He's going back to the narrative, the story here, that David says that Hashem put a machshava in the mind of Avimelech to get rid of me, to send me away. V'loy chokar olai, he did not investigate who is this person. Yishmu anavim v'yismochu ho anavim b'shamam hatzolosi yismuchu avloy hageyim. The arrogant never rejoiced in someone's salvation. Shahoyu soine David. Okay, now that's very interesting. When a person, when you hear about someone else's success, it's a litmus test. Are you humble or are you arrogant? So that's what really was saying over there. When you hear about another person who has the same needs as you, and they have achieved salvation, success, how do you react? If you react with joy to that person, then you can say about yourself, you're a humble person. If you react with jealousy, David's saying, Gayim, that me, if a person is not happy with someone else, it's a problem. That shows that there's a tinge of arrogance. Pasuk Dalet, Gadlu, Omar, Kineged, Anovim, Gadlu. David now is addressing, according to Radak, no one says this but Radak. We learned before that David and Anovim generally say, no, Gadlu la Hashem iti, he's making a call for papers. You're putting out a call online, you put on your Facebook post. Anyone who wants to come praise me, meet me at this location, the shul, we're going to daven. No. David is only calling for the people in the previous pasuk. Only the people in the previous pasuk who heard about my success and are happy for me, the Yismachu, only they are invited to a private prayer session to praise Hashem. Kineged ho'anovim. I don't want the people who are arrogant, who are jealous of me, to join me in praising Hashem. It's not going to be anyone's interest.
What he's saying is that the elites, the establishment, are against him.
Right. The arrogant. Right,
it's
right.
The regular,
you should never rub it in. You should never rub it in. I remember someone wanted to see something. I went to an event, and this person says, oh, I couldn't go, can you please show me pictures? So I went out of my way to show him pictures, and as I was showing him the pictures, I detected he was very jealous. I don't know what he's jealous of, this person has plenty, very, very successful person. I detected a tinge of jealousy. So I right away, I stopped him immediately, because I'm not here. You want to see, okay, I'll timnet toiva mi bolov. You want to see, you ask me to come and show you, I'll show you. And then when I saw that it bothered him, because I guess, you know, he was going through a difficult time, and I just like stopped the whole thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing when someone is jealous. It's just not, it's never a good thing to rub it into someone, even though there's no reason for him to be jealous. I mean, he has quite a bit, this person. I don't know what he was jealous of. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yet, you know, it's a nature of a person to always imagine and want. And David over here is saying, Gadlu, the people that you want to join, to partner with, are only the Anovim. The other people, they're just jealous. It's not going to be good. Gadlu Hashem iti ala Yeshua shehu shi'ani. Omar k'neged ha'amim. The next part is, k'neged ha'amim gadlu Hashem iti ala Yeshua shehu shi'ani. The Itachin Liyo is Galu Kneged HaNovim, like this is in brackets in the Nusach, Shehizkiya fine. Vatem Yachta Menroim Meshmach, Drashti, Ki Biyoisa Bein Yideihem, Hoyi Belibo Dorish El Hashem, Umeschanin Lefan Belubavu Shiatsin Mehem, Biyadam. When David was in captivity, he was Mevakish to Hashem, Umikol Meguro Sayhit Silani Mizu, Umimigura Shaul. Now David over here is saying, oh, this is a concept which the Mepharshim mentioned many, many times. And that is when a person achieves salvation and you have an obligation to thank Hashem, you don't just thank Hashem for your salvation in this particular instance, you thank Hashem for your salvation of all of your salvations. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person merited a miracle, let's say when he was at the Grand Canyon, he was about to fall off the Grand Canyon, and a miracle happened. Someone grabbed him the very last second. So what is the halacha? Every time a person goes to the Grand Canyon, you are obligated to make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam she'asa l'neis b'makom hazeh. The next summer he goes to Niagara Falls, and he's on the boat, and he looks over, and a wind comes, and he's mamish, about to fall down, and someone grabs him and saves him. So what is he supposed to do every time he goes to Niagara Falls? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam she'asa l'neis b'makom hazeh, and by the Grand Canyon. Let's say the next year he goes on the Washington Bridge and he's just about ready to jump off.
He goes on the
and Mayor Appeldorf shows up and saves him. So what is he? Every time he goes on the GWB, he's supposed to make the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Chalam Sha'asa Lines Bamakayim Hazeh. Ooh, the Grand Canyon. Ooh, the Niagara Falls. That's the halacha.
It's a mazel bayit who is non-Jewish.
I don't get it. Make a bracha all the time. So every time when a person, this says Shalom, when a person is merits a miracle, whenever you come to the location where the miracle occurred, you have an obligation to make a bracha Sha'asa Lines Bamakayim Hazeh. And once you are already making the bracha Sha'as Nes Mokhar Mazeh, you have an obligation to mention all of the other miracles that happened to you in other locations. That's Allah. We do this all the time. Chazal, why do we say Mo'osur? Chanukah. Why do you say Mo'osur? It's Mamish, it's part of the Nusach. Hanedah Salalu Mo'osur, because Mo'osur talks about the Dalad Malchios, that not only did Hashem save us from the Golus, the Malchus of Yavon, we mentioned Bavel, and Parasim Odai, and Edom, the fact that we're still here and even in Edom for 2,000 years is also a miracle. Once we are making a bracha of Al Hanisim Sha'asa Nisim Laveisenu Bayomim Lohim Bazman Hazeh for Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, that triggers an obligation to thank Hashem for the miracle of surviving the Malchus of Babel, the miracle of surviving the Malchus of Parasim Odai, and the miracle of surviving Edom. Okay, Pesach night. Okay, Pesach night. What do we do Pesach night? All of Nirtza, all of the piyutim that we recite after the Haggadah, what are we reciting? Once we already doing Shevach Hashem, saying Hallel for the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to give Shevach to Hashem for all of the miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history. And that's the purpose of Nirtza. The purpose of Nirtza is exactly the same purpose as Mo'osur. The same way we say Mo'osur after we light the Hanukkah candles to recount all the other miracles, we say Nirtza to recount all the other miracles of Jewish history, because there's a trigger. The trigger is once you say Sha'as Lines B'Malkayim Hazeh, you have to mention the miracles elsewhere. And the same principle works the other way around on Tisha B'Av. Once we already been Mis'abel on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, once you Mis'abel on one Chorban, you Mis'abel on all of the Chorbanos. You have an obligation to, even if you're going to dedicate other days in the year for other Chorbanos. But once you're being misabel on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that triggers an obligation to be misabel on the whole gamut, all the tzaros of Klal Yisrael from the beginning to end. So here, David HaMelech over here is saying, God Hashem, if you remember Shem, after Avdurashi Yes Hashem V'Anani, that I was in a very difficult matzav. I was trapped in by Avi Melech. I somehow made a wrong turn, and I ended up under in the territory of the Pelishtim. If the Pelishtim knew who I was,
I had to get out of the country
because of Avshalom. But now he ended up in the wrong place by mistake. He ended up with Avimelech, and now he's in a lot of trouble. And David Dorashli Es Hashem, I was Mavakesh, I was Mispalta Hashem to save me from what was inevitable, and he answered me. And once he answered me, and I am thanking Hashem for this miracle, now I have an obligation to thank Hashem for Kol Migurosai. I was here in a very dangerous matzav. I was terrified. If they realized who I was, I'm the one who killed Goliath. I killed their hero. I was the top number one wanted man in among by the Pelishtim. If they knew that I was David, you know what they would do to me? They would torture me, they would kill me, who knows what they would do to me. I was terrified. I was mispalled Hashem to save me. And V'anani, Hashem saved me. Once Hashem saved me for this, and I have an obligation to give Shevach V'adot to Hashem for this salvation, I now have an obligation to give Shevach V'adot to Hashem for Umikol Migurosai. All of my fears, all of the events of my life that I was terrified, I have an obligation to thank Hashem, and thank Hashem, Hitzi Loni, that you saved me. This is what the Radak says, and this is a very...
Shulat Modim is also details, and then you say, we end the Al-Kulam.
The Al-Kulam, you have to, right, you go further, you have to say more, not just for this, not just for the current, it's a trigger. And that's how he says pshat in this pasuk. Mizu umimigura sha'ol shashalach leveso lahamisa. That was a long time ago. That was a different event. But once already I'm praising Hashem for this, that's the way, that's the halacha. Ve'itil kam upamim chanias elav lahamisa. Shaul tried to kill him. He threw the spear many times. Shaul tried to kill him. Okay, now let's take a look over here at the Likutei Shas. On the very bottom of the page 290 from the very bottom. Gadlu la'Hashem iti uniroi mimo shemo yachtov. By the way, this is a very famous passage. We all know that we say to take out a Sefer Torah. When you take out a Sefer Torah, what do? Yishma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Which way do you face? Which way do you face? When you say Shema Yisrael, you face the Tzibur. Right? That's the minna. And then you take out the Sefer Torah and you face the Tzibur. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then what do? You turn around, you face the Aron HaKadosh, and you bow down, you bow, Gadlu LaHashem Iti, Unirayim LaHashmo Yachav. Rabbi Reisman in his Sefer, Pathway to the Prophets, he presents one of the imponderables. He says it should be just the opposite. He doesn't have an answer. It should be just the opposite. When you're saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, L'Chayra, you should be facing Aron HaKadosh. Hashem Elokeinu. The Aron HaKodesh is the Mokom Hashuas HaShchina. When you say Gadlu LaHashem Iti, you are addressing the assembly. You are addressing the people in the shul. Gadlu LaHashem Iti. So you face the Olam. Think about it. We're in davening. It's an incredible thing. We're in davening. Does the Shliach Tzibur ever face the Tzibur and say something? Nowhere. This is the only time. Is there another time in davening? Every single thing that you do during davening, the Shliach Tzibur is facing Mizrach. Is facing the Aron HaKodesh. We're in davening. When you're laying, you're facing Mizrach. When you daven Shemona Esrei, Birchas Kohanim, okay? Birchas Kohanim, that's not the Shliach Tzibur, that's Birchas Kohanim. When the Kohanim, they put their backs to the Aron HaKodesh, which is a very big problem, by the way. That's a very big issue. How they like put their backs to the Aron HaKodesh, that has to be dealt with. And they bless the people. They bless the people. So, but other than that, when you davening to Hashem, you face Israel. Is another example? I don't recall another example. That's the tzibur, the whole tzibur. That's not the shliach tzibur. But the whole tzibur faces the Mekabel Shabbos. The Shechina is the Maariv, is in the west. The Shechina is in the west, so the entire tzibur turns around to the west in order to be Mekabel Shabbos, because that's where the Shechina, whatever that means, Kabbalah Sakan, the Shechina is the Maariv. But when the Shliach Tzibur is davening and is making a statement, you never have this. The Shliach Tzibur is always facing Mizrach, with the exception of Gadlu Lahash, with the exception of Shema Yisrael. So L'cho'ora, it should be the other way around. It should be Shema Yisrael, you're facing forward, because that's where the Shechina is. And then when you say Gadlu LaHashem Iti, you should turn around and face the Olam. So maybe you'll say, when you say Shema Yisrael, you're saying, listen, Jewish people. The Shliach Tzibur is addressing the Kehila, who is Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, the people who are present. All right, maybe. But still, Gadlu LaHashem Iti, L'chayru, doesn't make sense. So I once said to him, I remember I said this to him, he didn't like it, but I'll say it to you anyway, is that when you say Gadlu LaHashem Iti, you're not talking to the Tzibur, you're talking to the other Sifrei Torah. A Sefer Torah is a living organism. And when you take out a Sefer Torah, all of the other Sifrei Torah are jealous. Right? They're jealous. So you're saying, what happens if you only have one Sefer Torah? There shouldn't be a need to turn around. You shouldn't say altogether. You only because Gadlu LaHashem Iti. Okay, I hear. Obviously, this is not the correct shot. That's what he don't like. But Gadlu LaChazal say Hakol Toloi B'Mazul Afilu Sefer Torah Shebeheichol. Everything in this world is Mazul. Even which Sefer Torah you get to take out of the Aron HaKodesh, it's also a mazel. Everyone knows the Rav from the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav says, well, what is it? What is it? I feel it's safe. It's like a joke, tongue in cheek. I feel it's safe in Torah, sheh behechel. What do you mean the Sefer in the Hechel? It should say the Sefer hayoytse Ninayich. Which Sefer Torah? You get to make a bracha and you get to lay in the seven aliyahs. So the Sabarov says, well, you think it's a good thing to take out the Sefer Torah? What happens in most of the time? You take out the Sefer Torah and you read from it, and everyone is not paying attention. They're talking, they're not paying attention, or they listen to what it says in the Sefer Torah. They don't obey. So in essence, what happens most of the time, when you take the Sefer Torah out of the Heichal, that Sefer Torah ends up being disgraced. Abused. It's abused. There's a bazillion. So at the end of the day, which one had better mazel? The Sefer Torah that remained inside the Arah. They did not suffer the disgrace of people talking when the Sefer Torah is being read. So the one that gets, that has the good mazel, is the Sefer Torah that is Shebeheichel. Okay, that's the mazel. The mazel is not to be the one that they take out, because the one that they take out, it doesn't always work out so well for that Sefer Torah. That is a joke. But in any event, you do see that, you know, there is something to it, that a Sefer Torah is as Kedusha. When you write a Sefer Torah, the Sofer has to say the words before you actually write, that's the halacha. He has to actually say the word. He injects sanctity into the Sefer Torah. Chazal Sefer Torah was Nisraf. What do you see? I see the Oitzios Parchos. I see the Gvil is Nisraf, and the letters are flying in the air. There's something that is alive in a Sefer Torah. So when you take out a Sefer Torah, the other Sefer Torah are jealous. I'm jealous. Why you and not me? I have a much nicer ksav. I was dedicated in honor of a very big tzaddik. Why you and not me? So you say to the other Sifrei Torah, don't be jealous. We're all part of the same team. Gadlu, let us elevate, let us praise. Gadlu la Hashem iti, together with me. You're speaking to the Sifrei Torah. You're not speaking to the tzibur. I told this early rising. He didn't like it. He left his question as a tzorich im godol. Yeah.
When he says that we are not Hashem, to Hashem, le divrei Hashem, this Sefer Torah is the divrei Hashem, dvar Hashem, that lu la Hashem, la Hashem.
It's the tzibur.
He gave us this Sefer. So that's
the Gulat Hashem.
So I have to show them the Sefer.
You have to
show
them.
It's not, I don't.
Yeah. You have to show the Tzibur that the Sefer is the tool which we're going to exalt Hashem. You have to show E.T.
You're going to read it now.
You want to go say Gadul Hashem E.T. The word E.T. is going on. The word et, the word yachdov, the Sefer Torah, and me together will praise Hashem. All right, it's very interesting. I mean, it requires an understanding of why did Chazal, the Nusach HaTfilah, why was this pasuk selected from Tehillim to be said in general when you take out a Sefer Torah from the Aron?
Every day we said, every Shein Chamishim.
Right, every Shein Chamishim, every time.
We don't say Shema.
You don't say Shema, but you say Gadol LaHashem et, and we bow also. I mean, the Brich Shmei, that also answers the question. It says in the Brich Shmei, this Sagidna Kame, this is also one of his mysteries, but this is not such a mystery.
It says in the Brich Shmei, bow down to the Sefer Torah.
Okay, now everyone says Brich Shmei, or knows what it even says in Brich Shmei. Brich Shmei is... What? Every time you take out a Sefer Torah, you say Gadol Hashem.
When you say Gadol, you say Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Gadol Hashem, you bow down.
You do? Could be you do. But when you say Gadol, the meaning is to bow. Now in the Brich Shmei, what does it say in the Brich Shmei? Ano avdo dekutsho berichu. I am the servant of Hashem. Disogidno kamei, who bows in front of Hashem. Umi kamo, and who bows in the presence, dikar oiraise, the honor of the Torah, bechol idon v'idon, at every opportune, every moment. So the question is, what in the world does this mean? What? We say this all the time. I am the servant of Hashem, and I bow before Hashem. Okay, we always bow. Shemona Esrei, you bow four times. And Aleinu L'Shabeach, you bow. And you bow, you know, you bow all over the time, all over the place you bow. Okay, I am the servant of Hashem. I bow before Him. And I bow, Mikama, the honor of the Torah. What? When do you ever bow to the Torah? Did anyone bow down to the Torah? Who bows to the Torah? Whoever bows down to the Torah? You do. Gadlu lahashem itim. You take the Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh, and then you say Shema Yisrael, then you turn around, you face the Aron, and you bow. Who are you bowing before? So Pasha Psha, is you bowing to Hashem? Bowing to, not necessarily. When you're holding the Sefer Torah in your hand, and you're facing the Aron HaKodesh, it can be understood as you're bowing to the Torah. To the Mekayim, what it says in Bruch Shmei, Unikamo Dikar Oiraisa. The whole Idon V'Idon, every time we take out a Sefer Torah. So that explains Rabbi Reisman's imponderable, one who was imponderable, why Taka do you turn around and bow? Because when you say Gad Hashem Iti, you're telling the tzibur, you have to also, who is the ET? Is the ET going on the tzibur? Is the ET going on the Sefer Torah? There are many variables, many things that need to be understood. How to understand this pasuk, and what are we doing exactly? We're just like robots. What are we doing over here? Okay, what does it say over here in the art scroll instruction? They give you instructions. Hachazan, here is the art scroll Hebrew Siddur. Regular standard art school, he was sitting as the Bible today. Yitzchak, don't you know, they gave this at Har Sinai. In the beginning, it says first edition, Har Sinai. Mark, right?
Yeah.
Meir Zlatowitz, he put the first edition, first impression was Har Sinai. Hachazan, Noitel Sefer HaTorah, Bizroyoi, Hayimonis, in his right hand, Vishoycheh. And you bow. Socha, the sin. I don't need it. Was it a sin or a sin? Socha? Was it a shin or a sin? I think whatever it is. Vishoycha. Kitsas. Kitsat. Kitsat. A little bit. Litzad aroin hakoidesh. And then what else? He says something more. I never noticed this. Magbia hasefer kitsas v'oimer. He's supposed to lift it up a little bit. You pick up the Sefer Torah by all three. Mishnah Berurah says, you lift up the Sefer Torah by Shema, Gadlu, Anecha Elokeinu. What?
Only by Gadlu.
All three you have to pick up, but bowing? When do you bow?
I saw the belly, so I've seen a more obvious sitting on in the whole production, the bowing.
He and the young Israel is beautiful. In the young Israel, when I was a kid, with the young Israel, when they took out this, I miss it very much. It was covered at Torah. When they took out the Sefer Torah, it took 15 minutes. Okay, they sang, Ein Kamoicha Belukim Hashem, they had a whole niggun of Ein Kamoicha, a beautiful niggun. And then there was a whole ceremony. And Vayihi bin Soya, people loved it. They lived for this the whole week. This was the Vayihi bin Soya. And then they sang Brich Shmei, Be Anoro. Everyone knows the Negev Anorachis. It was a beautiful. And then they take out the Sefer Torah, and the children will be given the Keser, and the Choshem, and the Yad, and they would pick up the children to put it. And then they would Shema Yisrael, you know, the Chazan, they would with the whole show, and then they would turn around and bow. It was a whole production. Then they go to yeshiva. Before you blink, the Sefer Torah is on the bima. The whole thing, like, whoa, what happened over here? They skipped the whole davening. And now in many shuls, even the more modern shuls, they're just not interested. They're just the whole thing became, we're not patient with this anymore. Do like they do it in yeshiva. Totally disappear. It's a chaval. It was a very beautiful, it's very hard to see it done well the way I remember as a child, it was a powerful ceremony. Sorry? Yeah.
A little louder.
Well, Yashu says to bow when this is Satara. Oh, that's another thing. When you do the Zoy Satara, there's another whole thing. To bow also, you point, so no one points. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I think this is just a point. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to point. Is that correct?
Till 20, 30 years ago in America, nobody pointed.
No one pointed? No one points today. What are you talking about? No one points today.
Yeah,
today, I point. I'm the only one who points.
Point.
And people say they look at me like I'm from Mars. No! Now where I go, Chaim Berlin, I'm the only one who points. And the guy says, what are you doing?
My father never pointed, my Rebbe never pointed, I don't point.
Okay, no one points. Very few people point. But when I was a child, they taught us. You point, you point with your pinky, right? And I just do this because I just do this out of like a robot. And then one day, there was a fellow there, gave me the business. What are you doing? What does it say this? Why this finger? The whole drasha.
You don't run up to read three psukim?
What?
You don't run up to
read No. All right, everyone has different minhag, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the point. There's such a thing. If I'm not mistaken, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there is a makar for this.
Why the pinky?
Because, I don't know. Is there each finger represents al pi Kabbalah different in Yonim. The Etzba Lakim and this the Zeres. I don't know. I really don't know.
I think when you point, so the other fingers that point to you, between this and this.
There's a reason. There's certainly a reason. They're different in Hogwarts, they're different in Hogwarts at some point. With this thing, everything has a minute. Everything has a reason. But here it says, you bow before the Sefer Torah. So Baruch is saying, when do you bow? You bow by Hagbah. Hagbah, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Hagbah, okay? But there's another time that you bow. It says over here, the Feirish, over here in the art scroll, it says that you're supposed to bow when you say, Gadu Lashem Iti Unirem Mishmo Yachtov, you're bowing. So this explains the Pshat and the Brich Shmei, and it explains then why, if you're saying Brich Shmei, and why you turn around. If you say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so you're addressing the Klal Yisrael. Okay, so why turn around now? Well, if you just finished saying Brich Shmei and you said, and I bow before Hashem and before the Torah, so now we're going to bow before the Torah. I'm holding the Torah, but in the Aron HaKodesh, there are many more Sefer Torah. So we're bowing before the Sefer Torah to show that we are kofuf to fulfill what it says in the Torah. Okay, this is Gadlu LaHashem Iti. I always like to joke around and say this is the Makar that they're aliens. E.T. extraterrestrial. Gadlu LaHashem, the extraterrestrial, that's a joke. The extraterrestrial creatures on this world also should praise Hashem. Everyone's on the same team. Shemo Yachdav. The Ish E.T., he was an alien who took the Sola Azaza. Okay, these are jokes. Ish, okay, E.T., Unirayimash, let's see over here what it says in Chazal. Likute Shas on page 295. We're going to do it. Absolutely. Let's just see over here if it's Chazal. I like the Chazal because the Chazal usually it covers almost everything else on the page. It has this is brilliant. What they did over here is unbelievable. The art scroll. Gal Hashem iti unirayim mashmi yachtov shloisha shachlu b'kachas chayavim lezami. Minani mili. How do you know this? This is a famous Gemara. Amar Abasi Yamar Kua Gadlu LaHashem iti unirayim mashmo yachtov. So the editor did this a taiva, and he said Gadlu harishnayim. The yachad Gadlu is b'loshan rabim. Gadlu, may you. It's a command. You, Gadlu. Okay, you, all of you people should praise Hashem, Gadlu. And then it says here, E.T. with me, I'm the third person. And we will exalt Shemo, his name, Yachtav. Gadlu Haresh, Naim Yachtav, Yachad, in Amidabra Haresh, Leish. Now, by the way, this, according to this Chazal, I think it says, we don't do this today. We don't do this. This is not a davasha b'kedusha, and this means that technically speaking, even noshim, even women, you at your home and you have a husband, wife, and a child, and an adult child. Technically speaking, it's the chiyuv zimun. The chiyuv zimun is not a din of a davasha b'kedusha. A davasha b'kedusha has very strict rules. You learn out from Admosa Le'edo Hara Hazos, Anoshim has to be males. Okay, Judaism, there are very serious rules of males and females separation. But when it comes to Zimun, Me'ikur Hadin, there is no din, there's no separation between the genders. And you can be mezamein, men and women can make up a Zimun. Now today that is unacceptable. Today in the Orthodox world, it's not done. It's not done because of tznius. But Me'ikar Hadin, Galla Shemiti, does not discriminate against Noshem. And a Zimun can be made up, especially in your own family. Husband, wife, and a child can be one Zimun. But again, you never saw this done. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin lebirchas hamazon min haTorah, shenemar, v'yachaltu v'sovotu v'rachtu, zu birchas hazon. That's the first bracha midraisa. Es Hashem Elokecha zubichas hazimun. Now, when it says Hashem Elokecha, that's before. That is the zimun of Rabosai Nivarech Yehi Shem Hashem Baruch Me'atam Elam Baruch Shachalnu Mishaloi. That's what we learn from the words Es Hashem Elokecha Baruch Shachalnu Mishaloi. Al ha'aretz zu birchas ha'aretz, that's noyde l'cha, and ha'toiva zo bonei Yerushalayim. So therefore, there are four drashas. There are four psukim. One pasuk refers to zimun, we're going backwards, and then the other are the first three blessings of birchas ha'maz, which are de'oiraisa. What about ha'toiva ha'metiv? No. B'yavne, b'yavne tiknua, that was established about 52 years after the Beitar, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that took place a long time after. But midraisa, according to this opinion, there are four drashos, and the four drashos are the three brachas plus the zimun. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, ein etzarich. Okay, what does it mean, ein etzarich? We don't need this. V'yachalto v'savot v'ratzum lokecha zu birchas hazon. You include es Hashem Elokecha, that already includes the first bracha, avol birchas hazimun. How do you know that there's an inyan to say baruch shachalnu mishaloi? That comes from, we just learned above, that comes from the previous rule we said in the beginning, migadlu l'Hashem iti nafka. So it comes out, let's go to the next chazal, Rabbi Chanina ben Achi, the brother, Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Harri Omer, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godil Lokenu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Zeham Avarech. Havu Godil Lokenu, Elu Ho'oinim Acharav. Okay, that refers to a general concept. And whenever you make this a concept, to make a bracha. And when it says, Havu Godil Lokenu, ascribe greatness Lokenu, Elu Ho'oinim Acharav, what do they answer? Umohein oinim achrav baruch Hashem hamavarach liolam voed. This is what they said in the Beis Hamikdash, I believe. Shukare b'shmo, you oinim acharav baruch. And when you say Hashem's name, you say baruch shem kivoid malchuso liolam voed. Period. So these referring over here to what they did originally in time of the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, they would answer. I don't know what this means fully. But this, we today, obviously, we just answer Amen. But in the Beis Hamikdash, when Hashem's name was said, they would say, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Liolam Vued, Baruch Hashem Min Ha'olam, Ve'ad Ha'olam, some Mishnayis, some Sech, the Brachos, this, the Mechilta. It could be the Mechilta is a little bit different than what it says in the Mishnayis, but it basically means is that we learn from these Psukim that when a person makes a blessing, there is an obligation for a person to respond to the blessing. The chain who David Omer Gad Lashem Iti Uniroimimoshmo Yachtov. It's not just enough to make the bracha. The shlemus of the bracha comes with somebody answering Amen. That's why many of you have a custom to come davening early, and people they say brachos to one another. Why do they say brachos to one another? Because your bracha, your birchas hashacha, the 18 blessings that you make in the morning, they're incomplete unless someone answers Amen to your bracha. There is a shlemus in a bracha where there is a person available to answer amen to the bracha. And there are many different concepts, many different yamnis. There's one incredible chiddush from Chaim Kinyevsky, Zecha Sarek Bevracha, relating to this, that no, and I never heard anyone say such a thing. Such a chiddush, tremendous chiddush. He says that when a person makes a bracha, not only is there an inyan that someone should answer amen to the bracha, there is an inyan that the person that answers amen should say it loud and clear, so that the one who made the bracha should be yoytze the amen with shomea ka'oine. In other words, me'ikar hadin, you make a bracha, you make baruch atah Hashem lakim melech olam shakol mi abidvaray. So very good, you cannot drink, you made a bracha, but you're lacking. You're lacking. Because really, really, me'ikar hadin, you should say shakol mi abidvaro amen. But you can't do that. For technical reasons, you can't do that. You cannot answer amen to your own brach. So there are yishtabach and bichas hamoz, and there are certain, after a series, there's such a principle that after a series of blessings, at the end of the series, you say amen. Let's put that aside for now. But when you make a regular bracha, me'ikar hadin, you should answer amen to your own blessing. And if you don't answer amen to your own blessing, there's something missing. So what can you do? That's life. That's life. You can't win them all.
But do that in the middle of benching, when they berachem all the usual life.
Right, but you can't do it all the time. If you're all alone, or you're dying with silent Shemona Esrei, you're dying with silent, no one's going to answer, and no one's answering amen to your blessing with silent Shemona Esrei, there's something missing. Lou, what can you do? You can't win them all. But there are times when you're allowed to make a bracha out loud, and there's a person who can answer amen. When that person answers amen, so the Olam says, oh, now it's shalom, because you made the bracha and someone answered amen. You combine your bracha and his amen, that creates a shleimus in the bracha. Rav Chaim Kanier says, no, it's more than that. When he says amen and you listen to him saying amen, so now his amen is your amen, which shomea ke'oine. If you learn not of Chaim Kanievsky, the person who answers amen can say quietly, I'll make the bracha, and you just whisper amen. Did I hear that fellow say amen? No, I didn't hear, but he said it. I trust him. I made the bracha, he said amen. Magic, we have now shleimus. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that's not the pshat. He says, when he says amen, it's as if you said amen, with the principle of Shomea Ka'ine. And when you made the bracha and he heard your bracha, it's as if he made the bracha and he said amen. Each one has a technical limitation. You can't make the bracha and say amen. But together you can do it. And when you do it together with Shomea Ka'ine, each one said them both. And that's the Shleimus. Gadu LaHashem Iti. The only way you can achieve the shleimus is two of us together. Technically, I can't do them both, and technically, you can't do them both. But when you do your part, I do my part, each one is being mashlim the other with shomea ka'ina. And the nafka mina is, Rav Chaim says, that you should have kavan to listen to the amen, to be yoyz with shomea ka'ina, and the person that ends amen should say it loud and clear and have kavan to be moitzi that fellow with amen. Never saw that before. That's a tremendous chiddush. But it fits very well into this concept over here, Gadu LaHashem Iti Unirema Shmo Yachdav. So the bottom line over here is, we have over here from this one pasuk, we have over here many concepts. Number one, this is the makar for Birchas HaZimun, eating food. Number two, this is the makar that the shleimus of a brach is only complete when you say, when the person answers Amen, or in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a more elaborate response. Baruch HaShem Li'olam. Different opinions exactly what they said in the Beis HaMikdash. But there's a shleimus from this pasuk, Gadol Hashem Iti. And then there's another thing that we have a custom to do, which is very fascinating, and that is Chazal Mesakim, you take out a Sefer Torah, Gadlu LaHashem Iti. When you hold the Sefer Torah, you turn to your Nakodesh, you bow. What's going on over here? This pasuk was selected. This is a very fascinating thing. This pasuk was a central pasuk in Judaism occupies a very powerful place in the most basic fundamentals of eating food, making blessings, and dealing with the Sefer Torah. When you hold the Sefer Torah, l'chay, when it says et yachdav derech drush, it means a human being can only achieve shleimus and elevate Hashem with the Torah. We like to say et.
Well, with the first answer.
That's different mahalchim. When you're benching, say grace after your meal. I need you. We have to do it together. So et and yachta means all of us at the table together. When you make a blessing, I need you also to acknowledge my blessing. But the word yachta and et, possibly, this is more of a drush, is you're saying it to the Sefer Torah. I want to achieve my purpose in this world of praising Hashem. But you say to the Sefer Torah, I can't do it without you. Gadlu l'Hashem iti. You're speaking to the Sefer Torah. You're speaking to the other Sefer Torah. Unirroimimah, we will praise Hashem yachdav. Together. Yisrael v'oiraisa. V'kud shabrichu chadhu. We need to all come together in order to achieve the shleimus. Who is the subject of the word iti? Who is the subject of the word yachdav? All right, we have the Malbim to do after this tomorrow. We'll stop over here, take a short break.